Welcome to the My Crazy Office Podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
Overtime. So today we've got a topic. It's called Compare and Despair. Could we get any deeper?
It's pretty deep.
Yeah, comparing is not usually comfortable.
Yes. So it is human nature to do that. We were talking about this earlier today because it's one of the things that I find often with clients when they start to go down that road, you know, of I'm not making as much as somebody else, or I don't have the same title as somebody else, or I don't have the same background and upbringing as somebody else, whatever. You can fill in the blank, right? When you start going there and then you come up short and then you feel resentful, it doesn't do a lot to move your career forward.
Yeah. So what do you do? Cut it off when you feel yourself comparing?
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to catch yourself in the moment, right? And which is not easy, but usually it comes with a certain amount of emotional indigestion. It doesn't usually feel good when you're comparing.
You know, I don't know that I do it as a habit, but I know when I'm with people that are doing it with me.
Yeah.
And I can tell by their questioning, maybe I'm meeting them for the first time and they're doing that whole, you know, thing where they're trying to size you up. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
That's when I get really, really uncomfortable. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
because everybody's life is different. You can't.
Sure.
I don't think, you know, I don't know. Maybe I learned that a long time ago that.
I have a coworker who likes to use just really big words or phrases, you know, that I learned, that we learned clearly in school. We're all licensed, I'm a massage therapist when I'm out here. You know, we're all licensed professionals. We all pass any, I know what it is that they're saying, but it annoys me to know. And she's just trying to really just
impress
me or see what it is that I know or don't know.
And right.
She's kind of trying to size me up.
Isn't there jealousy involved in this?
Why, yes, Kathy. No, I think the thing that's interesting about it, and it is in some way human nature, because comparing is a form of competition.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so usually if you're someone who's always trying to assess where's Logan, where are you, Kathy, relative to me, where I'm standing, then it's the competitive part of me that's wanting to be able to prove to myself that I'm doing better than you are.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So but what's interesting is you may have that same competitive aspect of yourself. And so if you then see someone who you think is doing better than you are, then you get down on yourself.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a habit usually of people with very high standards, honestly, that becomes almost a destructive exercise. It's not helpful. But if we could say, let's say you have a healthy competition in you, competitive part of you, I think there's a way you can take that, like if you catch yourself comparing, and just stop and say, okay, hold on a minute, what would be success for me here? Right, this person has got this great promotion or this great job, or, you know, it could be also that the boss favors this person over you. Mm-hmm. And that can lead to really, that doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. But what you could think about is, well, what is it that I would really want? You know, is it that I want recognition? Is it that I want to, do I want to be recognized by this boss, or do I want to be appreciated for the skills that I do bring? Mm-hmm. And then you can take that energy in a different direction. Right. Mm-hmm. To either develop the skills or develop the relationships or do something to enhance your own self-image.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So I think this goes on all day long. Right?
Why, yes, Kathy, it does.
I mean,
it happens on the subway.
Just walking down the street.
Yeah,
walking down the street. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a fairly natural aspect. It's just that if when we're talking about your career and your work life and your day-to-day even, let's say there's a coworker, I mean, this happens all the time, at least with some of the people that I talk to, when you've got a coworker who's great at promoting themselves. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I'm never going to get ahead. They always get the attention. They always know what to say, you know, all that kind of thing. Again, that's a compare and despair moment.
I think it happens a lot with the way we look.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a big area of compare and despair. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
You know, oh, they're thinner than me, or that's a more expensive coat.
Right.
Or look at those shoes.
Right.
I couldn't afford them. You know, I see people sizing one another up all the time.
Yes.
Specifically women. But I've seen men, too. So there's that. But on the job, you think that's going on all day long? We're comparing our peers also. Well, they got the boss like that, what they said, or the boss acknowledged them, and I haven't gotten acknowledgement.
That happens. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and I think specifically it can happen with a coworker mm-hmm. who maybe does have your boss's ear in a way that you don't. Or mm-hmm. someone, I mean, I was working with an individual who's knows himself to be the hardest worker on the team, mm-hmm. and this other person joined the team who's a harder worker, mm-hmm. and it drives him nuts because this person is winning the hero award that he used to win.
Right. Ooh.
So that's a compare and despair moment.
Yeah. Sure.
And you have to make a new decision. If I'm not aiming to be the same thing this person is, what am I aiming for here? What do I really want to cultivate, either mm-hmm. in my professional life or in the actual work that I'm doing or in the relationships that I have at work? Mm-hmm.
So how do you stop doing this? Oh, you don't.
I think you can do it less. I mean, well, I guess we could ask ourselves. I personally used to do quite a bit of comparing and despairing, and then I realized it didn't help me.
Yeah, I stopped, I think, a long time ago just because I was so weird, like different than everybody, that I never found much to compare.
Right.
But I do think, you know, is the boss like me? Does the boss like this other? That stuff used to bug me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like who's getting more attention?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That has always bugged me.
Yeah. So I think one way to curb it a little bit is just first, you know, it's awareness, acceptance, action. So mm-hmm. awareness is you catch yourself comparing and you know it's going to be a negative dialogue, mm-hmm. right? The second is, you accept that this is, this is what I'm doing right now and it doesn't feel good. It's not helpful to me. Mm-hmm. And then I think the action would be, what is it that I really want here? Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I think you're right in terms of appearance. If it's about appearance, you're not going to be able to look the same way this person does, but maybe there's a way you want to feel better about your appearance. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I see girls of a certain age, I don't know, they could be anywhere between like 13 and 20, where they dress identical, like girlfriends, like you'll see a whole pack of them and they're wearing the same sneakers. And I think that's the kind of thing, like, right? Isn't that kind of a compare thing? I don't know.
Well, it's a natural thing in adolescence.
Like tribal, to me.
It is tribal.
Like a tribe.
It's going for acceptance.
Right.
But that's a good point too, though, Kathy, because I do think that that's part of the, it's like the sad song behind compare and despair is you mm-hmm. want to be accepted. You want to be part of the pack.
I always feel so bad for them.
Yeah.
I feel like, where's the individuality? Like, who's special here? Because you look identical.
Mm-hmm. I cut back on using social media just because I started seeing the same things over and over.
What do you mean? What?
I guess, like, with the algorithms also that they have on there, once you like a certain amount of things, and I started
that's
seeing...
That's all it shows you, yeah.
Right. That's the only thing that it shows you, and then I noticed myself getting like angrier, like irritated,
jealous.
Really?
Yeah, like
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah,
it happens on me. That I'm so glad you brought that up because I think social media is a conduit for compare and despair.
Right.
Because everyone's presenting their best self. Right.
Oh, totally. They make it up. Right. They stage it.
Right. Right. But as a viewer, I could assume that everyone's got it better than I do.
Oh my God, they're staging it. That's a given.
Which we know, but maybe the 13 and the 14 and the 15-year-old know, but they're still...
Emotionally, you don't always
comparing.
Know it. Yeah. And if you're not happy, this is the whole thing, is I think we have to go back to is, what am I not happy with?
Mm.
Because, and you said it, Kathy, you don't know other people's lives.
No.
There's a saying, you don't ever want to compare your insides to someone else's outsides. Like, you don't want to compare who you are and your value as a person based on the optics of somebody else's life, because it's not real. It is an illusion.
Yeah.
But when you're in that mode, that's not, you know, you don't believe that. You just think everyone's got it better.
Right.
Or I can't win. Or I, you know, other people get the breaks.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the ones that drives me crazy.
People get the breaks?
Well, it's true. Life is not fair. It's absolutely true that there are people who have incredible luck and incredible fortune and incredible, you know.
Or resources.
Resources, incredible resources, and who aren't dealing with all kinds of other prejudice or discrimination.
Sure.
But it's that to stop yourself with that, to make it that's it. You know, everyone else gets the breaks.
Yeah, see, I think that no matter what people have, it's the human condition. They have,
even
though they may have a lot of resources, they may have a lot of privilege. So what upsets them is at a different level, maybe.
That's right. You're
but
right.
It still is painful.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
I think nobody really gets away with it.
No, I'm with you, Kathy. And actually, I'll say something which is, we're talking about deep. This is going to be crazy deep.
I can't wait.
But it is the ego that does this.
Mm-hmm.
It is the ego that always needs to position itself either above someone else or below someone else.
Mm-hmm.
The ego is not happy with just saying, you be you and I'll be me.
Oh, really?
Mm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, the other parts of us, maybe the more spiritual or the more grounded parts, are the ones that are just here to, I don't know, have a good time. I don't know. But the less ego-driven parts of us can be in a happy place, can come to appreciate what we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's where things like gratitude are great exercises, because they in a way partner the ego with the higher parts of who we are to say, I have enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Because compare and despair is about there's not enough and I don't have it. Someone else has more.
Right. So would you say gratitudes? I write my gratitudes every morning.
I think it's brilliant.
I think it's changed me.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah. I try to write 10. I mean, sometimes I squeak out 5, but you know, there's always something. There's always, you know, I got up this morning, the sun is out, trees, there's always something to be grateful for.
Right.
Yeah.
You just got to really look.
Right. Well, and what's interesting is gratitude is being grateful for what you have.
Right.
And so it assumes a certain amount of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's a great antidote if you know that if one notices that one tends towards what I don't have.
Yeah.
So that's it. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office Overtime. And between now and then, we hope that you don't compare and despair.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.